Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another re-release of The Exchange. On this episode, I sat down with Jeff Chaz Chastner. This was episode 38 of the show, and it was originally aired on April 2nd, 2021. Jeff was the vice president of business development at New Realm Brewing Company. I'm pretty sure now he's the vice president of sales. I could be wrong, but on this episode, we had a ton of fun. We discussed working in beer, business pivots during COVID, the importance of networking, the lovely network of LinkedIn, the entrepreneur bug, amazing movies, being driven to win, and much more. My local Georgia peeps are going to like this. Jeff is an extraordinary human being. He's always been kind of a mentor to me in my eyes. I've always really loved and respected him. And he's always been there for me as well. And you know what? I really, really enjoy him as a person, and I enjoyed this episode. So I just can't wait to get into it. So in fact, let's just get right into my interview with Chaz. What's going on, everybody? It's time for another episode of The Exchange. I'm your host, Logan Lewis, and we're here on a beautiful Saturday. I've got a great guest today. Before we get to that, of course, same things I tell you every week. Go follow the podcast on Instagram, Exchange Pod Log. Gotta change that handle. It's not a good handle at all. Not good for sharing. It's a horrible handle, but one day we'll change it, but not today. Also, share with a friend, man. Tell a friend in need. We do interviews every single week with different and interesting people. They could be my grandparents celebrating their 59th anniversary. I did that episode last year. Or we could be talking to my parents, talking about how they met, their journey to get to where they are. Or we could be talking to business owners, entrepreneurs, everybody in between. And this week, I've got someone very interesting. I've got Jeff, who is the Vice President of Business Development at New Realm Brewing. How's it going, Jeff?
Amazing. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks so much for inviting me here to do this. It feels like this is the only place that this should happen.
It's a little chilly. We're in the barrel aging room. It's a little chilly in here today, but we should be doing this outside. It's beautiful today.
It is. When I was driving, I mentioned I went to Woodstock this morning to meet a friend, and it was kind of sprinkling, kind of just cloudy, kind of dreary. But then as soon as I got out of that, I was like, oh my God, the sun came out. It's so beautiful out. But yeah, man, thanks for having me. This is really cool for me. This is the coolest, probably the coolest location I've ever done a pod at. So,
awesome. Yeah, well, we're glad to have you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks for reaching out. So I guess the first question I usually ask everybody is, how do we know each other? How did we connect? Do you want to get into that?
Well, I think it's interesting because, yeah, we do have a mutual contact in Riley, who was with two dudes, one dad. You know, did a podcast and actually did it here in our building as well. And I actually watched the podcast, and that's when I reached out and said, hey, you know, if you're ever interested in coming down and checking out the brewery. And I do find it very interesting, the story you shared with me, that you actually can't drink beer, huh?
So, yeah, that's a really unfortunate tale that I've learned to have to tell people. I'll never forget it. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings watching some kind of playoff game, I think a little over a year and a half ago, and I ordered a beer like I normally would with all my friends and buddies, and I took the first sip, and my tongue kind of started to feel heavy, and I thought, okay, that's weird. Maybe there's something in the beer. I drink, it was like a Michelob Ultra. It was nothing special. I was like, I drink these pretty, you know, frequently with friends and such, so this is weird. Maybe something's wrong with something in the back. Like I excused it and thought nothing of it. But then that weekend, I think I had another beer. I think I had an Angry Orchard with some family, and same thing. My tongue kind of got really thick or heavy or whatever. My throat kind of felt like it was closing up. So I was like, this is a problem. So I went to the...
Or it was a damn good beer.
or it was a damn good beer. And so I went to the doctor to kind of tell her what was going on. And she was like, sounds like you're allergic to something that's in the beer. And kind of did some tests and experiments. And it's the hops. It's that ingredient that just turns me away, unfortunately, which sucks because... I think it was at the end of 2019 that I discovered this now, because I think my New Year's resolution was to go to all the breweries in the city, or at least maybe like do a brewery tour along the southeast coast of the U.S. or something, just kind of go and try all new things. And because I'd been pretty traditional, or not traditional, just I'd be drinking like light beers or ciders, nothing crazy. I was very basic in terms of alcohol, or I would just make a mixed drink. I was a mixed drink guy.
Gotcha.
I can't drink beer, so I am.
Hey, at least there's this big craze going on with hard seltzers.
Absolutely, so. When I tell you there couldn't be more of a Hail Mary thing to happen to me, it's the rise in popularity of the hard seltzers, which is part of the reason we're here today to talk about some hard seltzers. But before we get into that, I want to hear about you personally, like your backstory. Where'd you go to college? You mentioned briefly that you're a big Georgia guy. You born and raised. Went to college here, fan of Georgia, Kennesaw. Give me the backstory on Jeff.
Yeah, so I actually moved here with my family when I was really young, when I was 7. And, you know, Atlanta is definitely home. So I've lived all around Cobb County, and I went to Wheeler High School, and then went to Kennesaw State and worked 3 jobs while going to school, and put myself through college. And huge fan of Kennesaw State Athletics, and obviously my alma mater, and UGA, of course, because when I went to school at Kennesaw State, we didn't have a football team. Now we do. We're doing very, very
sure
well.
Do. Yep.
Lots of fun to watch. And so when I graduated from school, I actually went into the restaurant business and was the general manager for a wing joint here in Atlanta, and got recruited out of there after a few years to go work for Miller Brewing Company.
Okay.
So the Miller Brewing Company office was right across the street from my restaurant, and got recruited to go join. They were having an entry-level type program to call on convenience stores and kind of learn the business from the ground up, just calling on a group of 50 independent convenience stores. And did that job for a couple of years and worked my way up through sales management. And over a 10-year career with Miller and eventually Miller Coors, I had a regional position where I was supporting the general managers for the Southeast, and left there and went to Sweetwater Brewing Company and led all their expansion at Sweetwater over a 3-year period. And that was amazing. It was during the height of craft beer, and just everyone was going crazy around craft beer, and expansion was a lot of fun. Went from, I believe, 9 states to about 23 states while I worked there, and I helped the team lead that expansion. And then I was fortunate to go work at Beatbox Beverages, which is a wine-based party punch. They were on Shark Tank, and was fortunate to take over the VP of sales job with those guys, and had a lot of fun working with the team. And that's really where I got, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit, if you will, of, you know, really doing multiple jobs and really driving, you know, growth within a company, and just really that grind of just, you know, work, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle to build a brand. And that led me here to New Realm. I feel like we're in a great stage of where we're at with New Realm in terms of still being kind of on the entry level here, you know, 3 years in, but, you know, really getting ready to, you know, expand and really grow our business. So real, real pleased to be here. And of course, along the way, I met my wife in college, and we've had 3 children, and Madeline, Ashley, and Evan. And Maddie's here with us today. She's checking out the brewery and just kind of hanging out with us. So, yeah, that's me.
That's awesome, man. Did you, when you were growing up in high school, college, were you always, I don't want to, this is the stereotypical term you probably hear a lot, like the whole beer snob thing.
Yeah.
Have you always been a big beer guy, or did you go to college, study marketing and study sales or business development or whatever, and you just so happened to land the career in like the restaurant / beer industry? Like,
yeah, I actually think I just got very fortunate and lucky to find this, you know, this type of position. So I went to school and I was an organizational communication major. So I'm very process driven in the business world. So I've got a lot of systems and processes that I've set up or I've learned that I execute with our team. And I think that, you know, having that organizational communication degree, a focus on marketing in college. But, you know, once again, I think I was in the restaurant business, and I was able to use all those skills to help drive growth at the restaurant. And I nearly doubled the sales when I was at this one particular restaurant. And they transferred me to another restaurant with because it was a franchise, and I doubled the sales there as well. So I think just, you know, having that drive to, you know, to grow a business, I think I picked that up, you know, in college and in the restaurant business, and then obviously picked up more and more skills and more drive through each and every job that I've had. So
shout out to Madeline. That's her name. She's coming in trying not to make a noise. It's okay. You can pull the chair out. It's all good. So with all that said, man, you know, 2020 kind of made a lot of businesses have to pivot, and you being in the brewing and restaurant industry, you know, you have to pivot, or you have to find something to do to accommodate for the ongoing global pandemic and figure out a way. Was there ever, like, I don't want to say, were you ever scared, but it's definitely something you've probably, I'm assuming, have never seen in your career before. So it was Correct. Kind of a hard pivot to have to make to try to figure something out.
Well, I think what was interesting on my journey is that when COVID-19 hit, I was actually still working at Beatbox. And, you know, what's interesting about the two different brands was that, you know, in our business, sales in the off-premise, you know, independent retailers, convenience stores, grocery stores, there was heavy pantry loading going on, and people, sure, you know, people were spending more time at home. And what's interesting about when I was at Beatbox was that really benefited, you know, Beatbox to some degree, right? Because there was a lot of people that, you know, were looking for the best bang for their buck, and, you know, were pantry loading, going out and stocking up on, you know, food, toilet paper, sure, and booze, right?
The three essentials.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, what's interesting when I kind of look back is I think that there was a little bit of a benefit there, whereas in a business that's so heavily impacted in the on-premise restaurants and bars, right, where people were not going out, and you had to have a solid distribution in the grocery channel, if you're a beer company. And, you know, so I think, you know, you saw big brands like, you know, Anheuser-Busch and Miller Coors, or Molson Coors, pardon me, you know, really benefit from people pantry loading because, sure, they were buying 30 packs of Miller Lite,
sure,
Bud Light. And I think that our business, you know, because we disproportionately, we do a lot of our business in the on-premise. And of course, having the restaurant here in Atlanta and having the restaurant in Virginia, which drives a lot of revenue for us, you know, it definitely took a toll on our business here at New Realm. But we, you know, we're thankfully coming out of that now, sure, right? And we were able to weather the storm. And, you know, shout out to, you know, to our executive leadership team. I mean, we kept everybody employed throughout the entire pandemic. So, and on top of that, we put a system in place where everybody got tested, sure, twice a month. Obviously with the restaurant here, it's very important that, you know, we made sure that we kept our team healthy. So, you know, we tested every couple of weeks. Everyone had the option, or the availability to get tested here at the brewery. So,
sure. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible to be in that kind of industry and not have to have laid off a single person. That's a Christmas miracle, yeah, right there, man.
Yeah.
Do you find it difficult because Atlanta is, I mean, I've lived in a lot of different cities growing up. My dad is in commercial construction.
Okay.
And so we moved around quite a bit. Georgia, I think, was the 10th or 11th home that I'd lived in over the course of growing up. So I've been in a lot of cities, but I haven't been in any city beside Atlanta since turning 21. So I never really knew the brewery situation in all the other cities. So I assume that Atlanta is pretty hopping when it comes to breweries everywhere. Do you ever find it difficult to compete because there's a brewery everywhere? You know, there's one in Kennesaw, there's a couple in Marietta, there's like dozens in Atlanta. Like, do you find it difficult? Do you guys almost feed off each other? Like, how?
Well, look, I, you know, there's that old saying, rising tide floats all boats, right? So the more craft beer that people drink, I think, you know, we're all going to grow. But yes, we, you know, although it's a very friendly industry, and I was just at an event a couple nights ago where I ran into probably 10 or 15 supplier reps, and, you know, we're all high-fiving each other, and yeah, we're all checking in on, sure, each other, and we've all been calling on the same distributor, you know, some of us for almost 20 years. And it was really cool to, you know, run into everybody. But, you know, like I always, you know, tell our team, you know, we compete on the streets, but, you know, it's a very friendly
sure.
industry. Is it hard to compete? Absolutely. I mean, look, well, there's some very big craft breweries here in Atlanta. And I think, you know, we're very fortunate. We as consumers, you and I and Riley and everyone else, you know, as consumers, we're very fortunate. If you look at how many breweries there are, so many options. And, you know, each brewery produces, you know, so many different styles of beers. And so I think as a consumer, it's awesome. You know, as you're trying to enter the market, you know, we're a little over 3 years old as a brewery right now. It's definitely, you know, it's challenging entering a market like Atlanta, right? The other thing too that I think is really intriguing about Atlanta and the community, the beer community, is just how many people write about beer, like journalists wise.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of people that like to write about beer. I think that the culture here in Georgia specifically, it's pretty crazy how many people just enjoy the beer culture. I think when I talk to friends, you know, in other states, you know, they're like, man, you guys have, you know, this person writing about beer and this person writing about beer. And, they, you know, and they're all here in Atlanta. So I think that's a benefit to consumers as well, because there's a lot of coverage around craft beer here in Georgia.
Sure, that's awesome. And being here on the Beltline, too, is just an amazing location, because even if somebody like myself, a few months back, I came here and had no intention of coming to New Realm, but you know, you're walking and you're like, oh shit, there's New Realm, like
yeah.
might as well stop in and have a drink or something. Like I'm sure there's not a better place that you guys could to wish to be right now.
Well, hey, we love being on the Beltline. We love being in Atlanta. We love tying back to the community and working with, you know, with community organizations. And you know, just, I mean, you look outside now, our beer garden's packed right now. And it's what, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we've got a long day ahead. So, you know, definitely a lot of walk-up traffic, you know, from people walking on the Beltline. So it's a great location.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, Virginia. Do you guys have a Virginia location?
We do. We have a brewery up in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
That about, I think it was 3 or 4 months after we opened the Atlanta facility is when we opened up Virginia Beach. And what it was the when Green Flash came to the East Coast, you know, they... for lack of a better term, like I guess when they were trying to expand east, things didn't go so well for them. And their brewery that they opened up in Virginia, we had the opportunity to take over that brewery and rebrand it for New Realm.
That's so awesome.
That's the brewery that we took over, and excited actually to share that we're actually going to be opening a distillery and a small brew house down in Savannah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, towards the end of April. So we're real excited about that. So it's going to be a distillery, and we'll have a pilot brewing system down there. And that'll drive another anchor for us down there in the Savannah market, which is definitely an up-and-coming, you know, craft beer market.
Absolutely. And, how do you guys plan that sort of thing? Like, in terms of, like, expanding or picking a location, I'm sure it's you guys are doing months and months and months of research and just asking around or you know... I'm sure so much goes into picking, like, okay, Savannah is going to be the next chapter. Like, yeah. What? Like, how do you guys decide on, like, how'd you decide Virginia? Why Virginia? Why not South Carolina or Virginia or North Carolina or anything?
Yeah, we got super lucky on Virginia, right? I mean, it was just right time, right place, and the right opportunity and the right connections. You know, what's interesting, so my title, I'm VP of Business Development, so I'm more sales-driven in terms of driving the business, but we actually have a job posted now for VP of Development. There, like you said, there's so much that goes into finding the next site or finding where we want to go and the why behind it. We actually have that job posted now, so if there's anybody out there that has experience in helping companies, you know, find their next locations or scout out areas, that job is posted on our website right now. Right now, Kerry Falcone, our CEO, is really driving that process, you know, scouting new locations. And, you know, we're real excited about what the future, you know, looks like for us in terms of expansion. So.
That's awesome, man. What is the, you might be biased and you might be careful with your answer here, but what's the best and the worst thing about working in beer?
I would say the best part is just the social aspect, right? I mean, we talked before you know, before the podcast, of just how thankful I am for my network. And I think, you know, learning how to network in this industry and, you know, one conversation always leads to the next. So I think that, you know, the best thing for me is just the people I get to meet, and I get to experience the experiences I get to have over a beer, right? I got a beer sitting in front of me right now. You have a seltzer, hard seltzer in front of you. You know, it's a very fun industry. And one that we can, you know, do things like this on a Saturday afternoon and get to know one another and get to share ideas and concepts over a beer. The worst part is that beer is sold 24/7. So not lying when there's phone calls, you know, coming in at 10 o'clock at night, you know, there's out of stocks, or you start getting text messages at 5 a.m, you know, from people in the industry. Beer is sold 24/7. And so it's a 24/7 business.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
For me, that's amazing because I'm a 24/7 guy.
Yeah.
I have no issues, you know, putting in the work, no issues, you know, running,
stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, running at that pace. But I would definitely, I could see where that could be, you know, something that could be an issue for, you know, for some people that want to break into the industry.
Sure, sure. That's awesome. I used to be the guy that thought LinkedIn, we chatted about LinkedIn briefly. Yeah. I used to think LinkedIn was the dumbest thing ever. I thought it was the biggest waste of time. But after post-graduating college, and I'm sure this is something you might preach to your kids now and as they're growing, getting older and stuff, and it's definitely something if LinkedIn is still a thing when I have kids in the future, I'm sure it will be.
Absolutely.
But, like, take advantage of your connections. The people you know, like, if you would have told me a month ago that I would be sitting in New Realm doing a podcast with you, I would have said, like, bullshit. Like, there's no way. But because of the Riley connection that we have and just, you know, networking is everything. It sounds cliche, but it's the truth.
It is. I mean, look, there's that old saying, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And mm-hmm. honestly, I haven't gotten a single job in my career based upon what I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got an undergraduate degree from Kennesaw State. And, I shared the story of how I got recruited out of the restaurant business to go to Miller. Then I got recruited to go to Sweetwater. Then, you know, I leveraged my network to, you know, I was talking with an investor in Beatbox, and he connected me to the team there. Then I met Bob and Carrie 4 years ago while I was still working at Sweetwater. And the opportunity came about where they needed someone to really help lead this expansion and help drive additional growth. And so networking is critical. And LinkedIn is a big part of that, too. And I think the more that I try to share once or twice a week on LinkedIn, whether it's a display that we've built here, whether it's a new account that's a key account, you know, like a national account where we get distribution, or even, you know, my wife just got promoted her job to director of sales, even just pushing out content for her, congratulating her. I think the more that you can get your name and what you're trying to get accomplished out on LinkedIn is a really good thing, you know, for you and the business that you represent.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I think that, and the same thing goes with Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. A lot of people are like, well, I'm going to post something, but who's going to see it? People see it.
Yep.
Like, I was checking the stats on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has quickly become one of the most used apps on my phone. I'm always on it, just as you are. I'm sharing stuff constantly. Even if I know nobody likes it or nobody comments it, people are looking at it.
I think what's important, too, on LinkedIn, you know, and look, I don't know much about the algorithms and all, but I think on all social, what's important for you to give back and support your network is that you're commenting and you're liking if you see something that you like, or try to help your network, because I think the more, and you'll have to rescue me here if I'm wrong, but the more interaction, the more engagement with your posts, the more it's going to be shown to other people's feeds. So, you know, I'm on there quite a bit just liking or commenting on people's things that are in my network. And that's one way that I can give back to the people who have helped me. There's people all across the country. Like, I look for their posts and I try to support them and comment. And it could just be as simple as a high five or whatever, but hopefully that drives more engagement, you know, with other people so that their message is seen. Because we're living in a very, you know, content-driven world right now.
Sure, absolutely. Everyone's joining Team Content.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Absolutely. I used to also be the guy that would delete contacts out of my phone if I haven't talked to someone in a certain amount of time. I'd be like, oh, I don't need that. I don't need that person anymore. I now couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you never know.
But what if they need you?
Exactly.
What if they call you?
Exactly.
Like, you want to support them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's what's important to me. And that's why I don't delete contacts, you know. It's not necessarily what I need from other people. It's I want to be accessible to them, too. And so when they call, I know who's calling. And I want to help. I think most people have the inherent nature that want to help people. right? I mean, if you, you know, I reached out to you, I said, hey, you know, is there anything, you know, I can do to help support your podcast, love for, to host you, you know, and this will lead to something else too,
sure.
You know, and someone else will reach out. So I think most people, you know, it's inherent in us as, you know, entrepreneurs or as, you know, people that want to succeed, that we want to help each other. And I think, you know, social media is one way to get that help and to scale your messaging, but also being there for, you know, you mentioned the contacts, you know, don't delete contacts and leverage those contacts, reach out, not just when you need something, but reach out and say, hello, you know, hey, what's going on? How can I help you? You know, is there anything I can do to support you?
So. That's awesome that you say that too. Cause me and my roommates were talking last night, me and my girlfriend and roommates were saying, I think we were talking about friends, keeping in touch with friends. I released an episode of this podcast. Well, today's Saturday. By the time people hear this, it'll be a week ago or so. But about with a friend that has become a big video game streamer on Twitch. And he was a friend from high school. And I hadn't talked to him in years.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about how when they listened to it and they said, yeah, it's crazy that you kept up with that guy. Like, I don't have the capacity to keep up with people. And so we looked up, someone asked the question, how many people does the average person, how many relationships does the average person keep up? And there's actually a whole science and principle behind this thing. I think it's called Norman's principle or something. And it says the average person has the ability to upkeep 150 stable relationships.
That's a big number.
And it's a huge number.
It's a lot of people.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you have 150 people that you could name off the top of your head?
Probably not off the top of my head.
No, absolutely not. I have to go through and be like, oh, yeah, I talked to this guy.
Thank goodness for the iPhone, right? So, you know, keeping up with all those contacts. I mean, you know, like, I think everyone, you know, let me put it in the form of a question. On LinkedIn, if someone requests you, do you ever turn anybody down?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Never.
Why? Why would you turn them down? Somebody else in your network, right?
And you always have the people, and we all know, everyone that's listening to this always knows the people on LinkedIn. You add them, and you immediately have a message in your notebooks. Like, oh my God, Jeff, like, I love to see what you're doing at New Realm, man. If I could take 15 minutes out of your time, you know. And while those might be annoying, sometimes I'll respond to them and just say, hey, I'm not interested, or hey, I'd love to hear what you talk about, because it sounds so cliche, and I hate being the cliche bit guy, but like, the more doors you have open, the more opportunities you have.
I agree.
It's something, again, like, I wish I could go back to like just graduated high school, early college Logan, and like slap in the back of the head and be like, stop shutting people out. You are closing yourself off to so many opportunities that just could be there. You never know. Like, that connection could have been the nephew to the cousin to the son of Walt Disney or something. And you could have, you know, you never know what could happen.
And it all goes back to what you said. Networking is very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So going back to beer, because we're here, we're at a brewery, we're in Atlanta, we're doing the damn thing. you might be biased, but like, top three beers. Me and RC, you listened to that podcast. We sat there and we ranked our favorite beers and seltzers and stuff. So let's do that. Let's talk about just the trends and stuff. And yeah, you might be biased. You might throw in a few New Realm things in there, but What's on the top of your list right now?
Well, I mean, 100% bias. My go-to beer sitting in front of me, it's our new beer called Below. Just because, you know, I think a lot of, you know, my close personal network knows I had knee surgery 3 years ago. And with knee surgery, I couldn't move and I gained 60 pounds.
Wow.
And it didn't feel good at all. And so I've really been focused on, you know, I bought a Peloton, really been focused
on really?
Losing weight. Yeah. Which, you know, that's a whole nother
Team
hour.
Peloton. Yeah.
That's a whole nother hour podcast. Yes, I am part of that cult.
Because it is a cult.
It is
the
a
Peloton
cult.
Community is amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's
another day.
That's another day. Cause I could go on and on about the benefits of that, but Below is, you know, just a better for you hazy IPA. So our lead brand at New Realm is Hazy Like a Fox. And, you know, it's capitalizing on the trends right now. IPAs are the driving force within craft beer. Hazy IPAs are the fastest growing segment. We actually just, Mitch Steele, our brewmaster, just, you know, and his team came up with Below, which is just a better for you hazy IPA. So less than 100 calories, it's 4% ABV. So I'm able to sit here and I'm on number two and I've had less than 200 calories and I can still maintain a pretty good conversation with you. So it's really my go-to. You know, outside of our portfolio, I'm a big Guinness lover. Once again, for the same, I think it's got a fantastic taste. You know, it's less than 100 calories. Thanks. And so Guinness is also a go-to for me when I'm not drinking craft beer.
It's my girlfriend too. She loves Guinness. And I'm so upset, man. I'm so upset that I'm faced with this issue with my, I guess, my health and beer. Maybe I'll take a couple stab, and I do every once in a while. Like if we're at a brewery, a place that my parents frequent. My parents live up in Kennesaw, and that they frequent, like Red Top.
Yeah, I was up there last week.
All the time, and they love, you know, the concept of putting the card in and it's charging you by the ounce or whatever, yeah. And that's awesome and everything. And I'll go and my girlfriend, she'll order something and she'll say, hey, just at the bottom of the glass, just take a few sips, see what happens. Like, I don't want you to be shut out from beer for your entire life. We don't want you to be wine, liquor, and seltzer guy forever. I mean, it's not a bad portfolio. I just need to get into wine more.
I've got really good news for you if you like going to Red Top, because I'm looking at you and the glass you have in front of you is almost gone. You've been drinking Alpha Water, which is our hard seltzer, and it's almost gone, right? Yeah. What do you think of Alpha Water?
I was just going to ask too. This is Alpha Water. This is what I'm drinking. You guys didn't have a seltzer before Alpha Water?
Correct.
This is the new rum seltzer.
New rum seltzer. It's called Alpha Water. You're drinking the blueberry acai. It's
lovely.
Like I said, you've almost finished the glass. And so you mentioned Red Top. I met with those guys, met with Dave and Zach last week, and they're really interested in bringing our seltzer on.
That's so amazing.
When you go there, you'll have some new rum to drink.
That's amazing, because last time I went there, I was like, do you guys have any seltzers or anything? And they were like, not right now, no. And I was like, damn it. Yeah. So I sipped on a cider, and it was okay, but I still felt a little bit of tang or something in the back of my throat, so I just went real slow at it. But the last thing I want to do is sip a beer and have to bring an EpiPen every time I go to a brewery or something.
That wouldn't be fun.
That's not fun. So yeah, man, you said I'm having the blueberry, what's it called?
The blueberry acai, right? And then how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so. I always mess it up.
Yeah, I know you were dancing around that.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Chaz mess this up before I do. So yeah, the blueberry acai, and there's three other flavors that we have. We have the black cherry, the citrus punch, and the lime cucumber. It's available in a 12-pack variety pack that I'm sending home with you today.
Oh, so, that's lovely. I did not expect that. I love to hear that. Me and the girlfriend are going to be sipping on those tonight.
Awesome.
What do you think as a beer guy, you know, of this whole movement of the spiked seltzers? Like, it came literally out of left field. I mean, I think I might be a novice in the history of seltzers or anything, but to my knowledge, I think White Claw was pretty early on, maybe one of the first, maybe the thing that kind of took it by surprise and has forced all these companies, including the one you work for, to think maybe we need to get in on this madness.
Yeah, well, I think you have to in today's environment, because everyone has, every brewery has, not every, but the majority have a seltzer now. I think the craze started, I think, out of this whole better for you concept, which is why we launched Below as well. Is, you know, I think that everyone is, you know, really focused. You know, there's a lot of people that are focusing in on, you know, the low calorie, low carb, and even lower ABV, right? To be able to drink all day, you know, or for a longer period of time. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're fortunate we have the Chattahoochee River in our backyard.
Absolutely.
Right? And do river floats. And, you know, you want to go out there drinking 10% ABV beers all day. Of course, enjoy them, enjoy one or two, but I'm a puddle after about one or two of those things, man. So this gives me an opportunity to float the hooch and enjoy all day and enjoy, you know, whether it's Below or if it's Alpha Water, you know, and drink all afternoon and have a good time. But also, you know, once again, kind of going back to the better for you idea, don't feel as like I've got to ride the Peloton for 10 hours to work off the beers.
Absolutely. You know? That's one of the biggest things is, I think I showed my parents, actually. My dad has always been a light beer guy. He grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere in Illinois, and all he drank was Busch Light. Just Busch Light, Busch Light, yeah. Busch Light, Busch Light, Natural Light, Natural Light. And my mom never was a really big drinker. I mean, she'll have a glass of wine. I don't think I've ever seen her hold a beer. Maybe, well, now with seltzers being a thing, of course, but I think I showed them, and like the thing I just kept hearing from her and just my parents or just other relatives in general is like, oh my God, it's, you don't feel like crap after drinking them. You don't feel bloated after drinking them. Like it's hard to argue against them.
Well, also too, I think we need to call it the taste too, right? I mean, not everybody loves the taste of beer. So I think that's the other thing too, is it's an alternative to drinking beer, you know, on the go, right? So I think along with the low cal, low carb, zero sugar, you know, lower ABV, it's the taste. And I think that's the real point of differentiation for us with Alpha Water, is in the taste and the aroma. When you crack open one of the cans, you're really going to smell what you're about to,
sure,
you know, the adventure you're about to embark on, if you will. So,
absolutely.
And then they taste phenomenal. So we're real pleased, and, you know, shout out to Mitch and this entire team. It's not easy to brew and make a hard seltzer. So, you know, shout out to our team and our sales team for, you know, commercializing this brand and our distributor partners as well. You know, in Georgia, we're partnered with United Distributors, and then we've got several distributors up in Virginia. We owe them a huge, you know, huge thanks for helping us bring this brand to market.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where did you, I'm not sure if you had a hand in it or anything, but the name Alpha Water, was there strategy behind that? Because, you know, when you hear something that's alpha, you think like, this is the top dog. You think this is the boss. Like, is that maybe some of the inspiration that went into it?
I hope that we'll be the top. Yeah, we're working our way towards that. So, but yeah, I think our marketing team, you know, we have a whole process in terms of how we name our brands.
Sure.
There's a whole committee. I'm not on that committee yet. so I don't know. I'm not going to be able to speak you know, too intelligently on that, but I like where we landed, obviously. I think that, you know, it definitely insinuates what you're talking about, you know, being the best, you know, being on top. And I definitely like, you know, the package design. I think where we landed, it's really spectacular.
It's absolutely, I was just going to say, it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm a huge guy. Ever since I was a kid, you know, we mentioned the iPhone earlier. I love Apple. My house, my apartment is just riddled with Apple products. They're everywhere. Every room, there's at least one. And I've always been raised on, like, packaging is so important to a product. Like, people don't think about it. Like, you know, you used to open up a cell phone back in the day and it was, you know, this clunky box and there's a charger stuffed in this compartment, sure, the manual stuffed in that one. And you think like, this sucks. Or you don't think anything of it because we weren't introduced to the iPhone yet.
Yep.
And the minute we open up a Mac and it's, you know, it's sitting there on top and you peel the plastic off, it's an experience.
So
with packaging and logos in particular, like it's something that I've just noticed over the past couple of years, ever since I got out of college, and I thought, like, how crazy marketing is, and marketing is everything, whether it's just the logo or the font that you guys use, or like the moon and the sun. Like,
you have to differentiate on the shelf too. So I think, you know, some of the things that I noticed, you know, although the part of the packaging is white, there's this nice red on the package, right, to help stand out on the shelf, and clearly, you know, showcasing the cans on the package. So I think what you'll find with a lot of other seltzer packages, majority of them are white, you know, just a plain white box with, you know, the logo. So we try to differentiate a little bit there, and also call out the fact that we're made by New Realm right here in your backyard. So, you know, if you look at our packaging, it says low cal, low carb, local. So it's brewed right here in Atlanta and up in Virginia. So, you know, I think that's another point of differentiation for us.
Yeah. Shout out to my Virginia peeps. I actually graduated high school in Virginia.
Okay.
Over in the city is Ashburn, but it's kind of like right next to Dulles and Leesburg. It's kind of a smaller town, but it's in between those big conglomerates of like Leesburg and the other cities around. So I'll have to make sure that my buddies up in Virginia are taking a crack at these, because they're pretty damn good. I mean, I'm not just gonna kiss your ass because I'm sitting in front of you, but it's pretty damn good. Do you have, besides your own, of course, do you have any seltzer that you kind of got turned on to at the beginning of the hype and the craze? You know, there was a Truly versus White Claw thing for a while.
Yeah, quite honestly, man, no.
Really?
Just being honest with you, I don't know that I've had a White Claw or a Truly.
Really?
Which is really strange. Yeah, I probably should change that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I probably should do some more market research.
Feel free to come by the apartment at any time. There's always a seltzer of some kind,
yeah,
in my fridge at all times.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've had Alpha Water. I've had some of the local, you know, locals here that have also launched.
Scofflaw has theirs that's pretty, yep, good, too.
I'll let you name the names. So I'll just keep it to other local breweries. Shout out to them, though. And
yeah,
they have great products. And, you know, so that was kind of my sampling size. But, I it's funny. I don't think I've ever had a Truly or a White Claw.
Wow. That's awesome.
Interesting.
I'm jealous almost. I've had so many of them, man. It's almost like brain damaging. I've had so many of them.
We talked sports, you know, early on. It's like, you know, before the pandemic, when you went to football games and you looked at the trash cans, you know, at tailgates, you know, it's amazing to see, like, just that's where I get a sense of how big the category is when you see the majority of the trash cans are full of Truly and White Claw cans versus Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. Like, you know.
And I think it goes back to what we said earlier about how people don't feel like crap when they drink them usually. I mean, to be completely honest, I'm a pretty big lightweight guy. Like, it doesn't take much to get me going, and I'll have two or three seltzers and I'm on the top of the mountain. I'm just feeling great. So with all that said, there comes a point in every interview that I have with a guest. I got to that point with RC. I get to it with everybody if you listen the whole episode, where I ask each guest the same 10 questions to kind of bring it back, everybody to answer the same questions, just to learn a little bit more about that person.
Cool.
You ready?
I'm ready.
They're like first date questions. Nothing crazy here. What was your first ever job? Not after college, not high school. Like the first time you were paid to do something.
Maddie should answer this question because every time we pass by this place, I always tell my family, I'm like, did I ever tell you the time that I worked at this car wash?
She's nodding and saying every single time they pass this car wash, yeah, she says, I used to work here.
14. I started working right when I turned 14 at Executive Car Wash in East Cobb. Worked there all through high school.
Wow.
And it was a great training ground.
I was going to ask, did you always have that entrepreneurial bug in you? Did your parents ever drive that in?
I just like to work.
Yeah.
Like, work for me is beyond just a job. It's a passion. It's a hobby. It's when I say it's 24/7 and Maddie's nodding her head. Like, yeah. I just enjoy, I enjoy working, and I enjoy winning. So, you know, like, that's why I love sports, and that's why I love to win at work. So
that's awesome. I love winning.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it like that.
I like to win.
I can 100% agree where there's a lot of people in the generations to come that view work as something that sucks or it's boring. Oh my God.
It doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. I think you have to find what you're passionate about. And I don't know that I fully answered your question when you first asked. Well, probably, you know, question one or two about how I landed in beer. Like, I went into this whole thing about being process driven, but like, it's, I was very fortunate to get recruited to come in and work in this industry. I mean, yes, it's Saturday afternoon. Yes, this is considered work, but like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, when I go out and I'm at retail and I'm talking to customers, or, you know, I'm, you know, playing golf with a customer. I mean, some would, you know, yes, I'm on the clock, right? I'm selling.
But you're golfing.
But I'm having a good time, right? Yeah. Like, I enjoy what I do. And I think, you know, for folks that are still in college that may think, oh man, I got to go get a job. Like, go find something you enjoy doing. Go find something you're passionate about. And, you know, look, am I passionate about beer? I'm passionate about, I love beer. I enjoy sitting down and drinking a beer. I enjoy selling beer, right? For me, like, when I go in and I talk to a retailer, I enjoy selling, and I enjoy making customer more money by selling my product.
Sure.
So when you enjoy something, it's not work. I'm never exhausted at the end of the day because of work. I'm exhausted because of the effort that I try to put in to go win.
That's an awesome thing to say. My dad has always been the same way. He worked, you know, growing up, when I was real young, he was gone a lot because he was just busting his ass, you know, and now he's at a place where he can chill, really. And he's kind of in the place where you're at, where he loves work. He doesn't ever think a thing about it. And I'm like, man, are you ever like just burnt out? And he's just like, no, I just freaking love what I do so much that it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like I'm pursuing a hobby, but I'm paid to do it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. If you were an animal, what would you be?
Probably the Roadrunner. Is that a real animal? Yeah. I don't even know if that's an animal.
I don't know if it, maybe an, yeah.
I have no clue.
I don't
clue.
Know if it's a real animal.
Yeah, you know.
What's it based off of, like an ostrich?
I have no clue, but I guess just moving fast, right? Anything that moves fast. So maybe, you know.
Like a cheetah.
What'd you say? A cheetah, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Oh, I was at first.
That's more strategic.
That is very strategic. That's a really smart answer. Damn, all right. Maybe I'm going to interview you next, okay? Beaver. That's a pretty cool answer. I've never heard that. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Third Eye Blind, Earl ADP, and Eve 6. August 14th of 98. First date I had with my wife.
Wow. Okay. Look at you go. After a first date to a Third Eye Blind concert, I don't think you could say no to a second date.
That's right.
That's awesome. Dinner with three people, dead or alive. Who would they be?
Oh, dinner with three people, dead or alive. My grandfather, who meant the world to me. Let's see. Kobe Bryant? I was devastated when Kobe passed, yeah.
That was almost a thing where not only the fact that he was young and it's just like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, and he's also just an icon. Like, I'm sure we're going to feel similarly. I mean, I felt it when Robin Williams died. It was almost like,
yeah.
Robin Williams?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's, you know, and as all of my favorite actors and actresses are getting older and older and older. Like, there's going to be a day where we see that, like, Bill Murray pass. And it's
yeah.
Like, oh my God. Or Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler. And it's going to be like, my kids will be like, Adam Sandler, who's that? I'm going to be like, oh
yeah,
God, that's Happy Gilmore.
And those are a couple of good names of, you know, and comedians too. And
absolutely.
A guy that I think George Carlin would be a trip to sit down with for dinner. So I'll say George Carlin. I'll say, my grandfather, and I think I've got an interest in politics. I think that, you know, there's a lot, you know, that's a whole nother show, obviously, but
obviously.
I would love to get a better understanding of the behind the scenes in DC. So I don't care which president, but a president that could speak candidly would be an amazing conversation.
I almost want to know the behind the scenes. Yeah. What you just said, like, what we see on TV is definitely not it.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, we hear about, like, the fact that they need to be prepared to answer the 3 a.m. phone call. Like, how many of those phone calls are happening?
Right.
Like, what's the day in and day out of being, like...
Like, just cut through the BS and yeah. have a real conversation. You know, no matter what side of the aisle, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I wouldn't care if, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent, just sitting down and having a conversation
absolutely.
With someone that was the leader of the country and having real talk where,
yeah.
you know.
Where there's no cameras, yeah, no reporters,
exactly.
just I want to know.
I want to have a conversation.
I want to sit down and have a beer with, like, a president.
Yeah.
Just shoot
wouldn't
the
that
shit.
Be cool?
Yeah, it was freaking
and
cool.
Just try
I don't
to figure it out.
It
yeah.
There's so many people out there nowadays, man, that like, you know, resent. And we're not going to dive into that, but resent, like, one side or the other. But regardless of what you believe, if the U.S. president walked in that door, I'd be like standing up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my God, what a freaking, I'd probably start crying or
yeah.
something. Like,
it's a big deal.
I'm really passionate into that kind of stuff too.
For sure.
So if a president walked in, I'd probably shit my pants, to
yeah.
be honest.
No, it'd be a big deal. It'd be a fun dinner. So imagine having a president, George Carlin, and my grandfather all sitting at the same table. That would
love
be
to be a fly
epic.
On the wall there.
It'd be epic.
Do you understand the words stan, mute, and cancel?
Stan, no.
So to stan something, she might know this. This is kind of millennial lingo. So when I say that I stan something.
Did I just age myself?
Maybe a tad. Maybe I also just threw that. When I say I stan something, like, I stan Jim Carrey. I stan Alpha Water. I stan pizza. It means, like, I absolutely will die for that person.
S-T-A-N? Stan?
Stan.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I will go to bat for that thing
okay.
in every argument.
Okay.
Stick by it, exactly.
Got it.
To
right.
mute something means to kind of, you know, quite literally the analogy of muting the TV. It's there, you like it, you're enjoying it, but you're just putting it on mute. Kind of like a take it or leave it situation. You could take it or leave it.
Okay.
And then to cancel, just like, you know, cancel culture, just get it out of here, goodbye, be gone, I hate you, be gone.
Got it. Yes, you did.
So.
All right, well, the one that, do I have to go in order?
So what I'm going to say, I'm going to give you three things, and you have to stan one, mute one, and cancel the other.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Queso, guac, and salsa. Oh,
man, here I was thinking about all these, like, strategic answers of what I was going to cancel. And okay, so queso,
guac, and salsa. Yeah, the trifecta of appetizers.
Okay, so cancel queso.
Your daughter is telling you to leave. She's canceling you right now.
cancel queso. Stan guac. That means I like it, right?
Yeah, that means yep. you absolutely love it.
And yeah, mute salsa. Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm pretty much the same, except I'm flipping your stand and your cancel. I'm canceling guac. I'm just not a big guac guy. I wish I was.
So I went on keto for a while.
And oh, really?
So guac was, you know, avocados were good.
Sure.
So
it got engraved into you.
Yeah. And no to tomatoes. So anyhow.
Absolutely. Cool. What's one, I'm not sure how big or small you are into film, but like what's one movie you wish you could go back and watch for the first time ever? Experience all this. It doesn't have to be like in the theater, like when it was released, but just like if I could erase your memory for a movie and then we watch it together, what are we watching?
God, I suck at like movie questions and trivia because there's so many. I don't know. What do you think?
What show?
Yeah,
big Stranger Things.
Yeah, we're a big Stranger Things family. Yeah, but. I don't know. I think because of the nostalgic, because my dad and I watched this movie a lot. Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
I think like I've watched that movie 100 times probably. Yeah. That's one. And
I guess a good another like a side question or a replacement question would be like, what's a movie that you could watch 100 times and never get sick of it?
That's one. Pulp Fiction is another one that I could just watch.
Absolutely.
And man, I'm gonna kick myself later because there's a couple more.
You're gonna text me later. Yeah, you're like, oh my god, I remember. I love this movie. This is the movie.
I watch The Green Mile came on this morning. I watched. You know, it's like, and of course, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
come on.
Gosh.
I mean, you could turn on the TV 24/7, and that's on. So,
yeah, absolutely.
That's another great movie. But yeah,
what and to keep it in the movie train, if you're taking the family to the movies, What are you getting? Are you a snack guy? Are you just like, hey, we'll get candy at CVS and we'll sneak it in kind of guy? That's what my mom did growing up. We would go to the Dollar Tree and buy candy because
we used to, that's what we used to, we definitely did that for a long time. Now we're in the boat, thankfully. I think the kids all get candy. I'm more of just I suck. I get a bottle of water. I'm terrible. The kids get popcorn and they each get a thing of candy. So, yeah, popcorn and candy-ish. Eh. Yeah, I guess it depends on how much money we spent that week.
I always used to wonder, like, now that I'm an adult and know what it takes to pay to go to the movies, I always was wondering when I was a kid, like, why does dad always hate going to the movies?
Right.
It's because it's expensive as hell to take a family of five, which is what we were, a family of five, to the movies.
Yeah.
My
go-to candy when I ate candy was the snow caps. That was my that's what I would order at the movies.
Okay. Kind of switching gears to maybe a little bit more deeper of a question. What's your greatest fear?
All right, my greatest fear is prison.
Just the concept of
going to jail or prison is like
for like a night, it just absolutely terrifies you to the bone.
I would not last the night. Yeah,
neither would I, man.
No, and haunted houses. I'm just not.
Man, I know. I finally found someone that's as big of a baby as me.
Hardcore.
You call me a sis all you want, dude, but like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're my wife. I don't care if you're my kid. I'm not going to a haunted house with you.
No.
Like,
so
I will wait outside.
My wife's the complete opposite, loves them, but she has to go with my brother.
Really? Because you won't go.
I won't go, no.
What about scary movies? Will you watch those?
All day long.
Oh, absolutely.
No,
same here.
No issues. I'm in my own house. I'm fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just a movie.
Yeah.
But when it's a haunted house, and especially those ones, I remember going to one in high school where I had to sign a waiver that said, like, they could touch me if they wanted to, like the actors.
You can keep that.
Yeah, absolutely not, man.
I'm canceling that.
I got 5 minutes in, and I had to, like, ask, like, somebody jumped out, and I was like, where's the exit?
Yeah.
I need to leave.
That's me.
I don't care if I just blew 20 bucks.
In,
I got to go.
That's not me.
What gets you up in the morning?
The drive to win. Like, I mean, I get up and it's like, okay, how am I going to be better today than I was yesterday? Like, it's a competition with myself. How am I going to do better today than I did yesterday? So it's just that's the drive, man.
Awesome. And then lastly, if I snap my fingers right now and we were all transported to a time and place in history to witness an event or a death or a birth, what would it be?
I would go back and rewatch your podcast, know what these questions are ahead of time so I could pre-plan. All right. So where,
We could be a fly, almost like a, what is the movie where you get visited by the ghost of Christmas past and he like takes him around and he makes him like witness an event or something, like almost the same situation, but we're just watching something.
Man, I'm completely stuck on this. Probably something to do with American history.
Yeah.
You know, going back, how about when they signed the Declaration of Independence?
That'd be a day. Like, I've always wondered, like, so after they signed it, like, what happened? Did they just, like, shotgun beers or something? Yeah. Like, you got to think that something awesome happened.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you don't think about that stuff, right?
No, and like, you just know that you're taught in school, like, they signed the Declaration of Independence, moving on to the next chapter, it's like, well, wait, did they, like, all high five? Yeah, did they, like, prance around in the street? Like, what happened? Like, I want to know the immediate after effect of signing the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, so that's one. That'd be a cool time to go back and watch.
Cool. Yeah. Now I'm at the point where I'm going to give you the mic as if I haven't given you the mic already the whole time, but plug anything that you want to promote or, you know, spread the word about. This is your time to shine now.
No, I appreciate that. Well, you know, first, thanks for coming in and allow me to kind of share a little bit about myself, a little bit about New Realm Brewing Company. But obviously, would love everybody who listens to this to come check us out. New Realm Brewing Company, we're located down on the Beltline, just down the Beltline from Ponce City Market. We obviously just launched Alpha Water and Below, and we have all of our beers on draft here. Also want to call attention for a cause that I fully support, and that's Camp Twin Lakes out in Rutledge, Georgia. I'm actually just started our 2021 campaign supporting the Spin for Kids ride. So on October 3rd, I'm going to ride to help raise money for Camp Twin Lakes. And if you want to make a donation to Camp Twin Lakes, you can just go to newrealmbrewing.com. Actually, if you wouldn't mind putting that under.
I was just going to say, I will put all the links to the things that Jeff is talking about in the description.
I would greatly appreciate any donations to Camp Twin Lakes. It's a great cause for kids to go to camp out in Rutledge, Georgia. So those are my plugs. And I do want to thank my daughter for joining today. I want to thank you for the opportunity. And this was a lot of fun. So hopefully I didn't suck.
No, you didn't suck at all, man. This is actually probably, every guest thinks that I say this, but it just gets better and better each time I do it. This is probably the best one I've ever done. So, like, and I've done a shitload of podcasts. So
that was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me out here. Thanks for giving me the trike. Thanks for sending me home with some Alpha Water. I can't wait to dive in, share it with the roommates. I don't think anybody I know has had this yet, unless I know a few people that frequent the brewery here, and they've probably had it by now. But
I just wanted to make sure I got that. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, for sure. I'll also do the research as well. But thank you so much for having us. Thanks for joining us too. I'm sure it was boring/entertaining. How old are you now? You're the oldest. Okay, you're 15. Cool. So thanks for helping him with some of the more difficult questions.
Yeah. What would you have said? I'm
really. Are you big into history?
Okay. Good. Oh, you got another guest down the road.
There you go. Absolutely.
She's ready.
Well, we're ready. man, thanks so much for having me. I love it. And I wish you continued success.
Thanks.
And,
appreciate it. Welcome anytime.
Everybody, like I just said, I'm putting the links in the description so that everybody has the most up-to-date and accurate information about everything Jeff just mentioned. Go check out the cause. Check out New Realm. Come through. Come drink. Come try the seltzer. And everybody, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.